Blog Talk Radio.
On IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL, the first show of 2021. Can't believe we made it out of 2020. It was kind of dicey there at the end. And then, of course, the first 7 days of the year haven't been that discernible, really. 646-652-4479. I swear G.I. Joe is going to come out the sky, the whole theme song and everything, I swear. Anyway, not get on that, of course. We are going to be having a lot of fun tonight. This is the first show of the year, as I mentioned. This is going to be a two-hour show. Tonight we're going to focus on two Atlanta teams. However, since this is Around the ATL, if you have another subject to talk about as far as the Dream or Atlanta United or Atlanta Braves or UGA, Georgia Tech, Georgia State University, Kennesaw State, whatever. Again, this is Around the ATL. We talk about Atlanta and Georgia sports on the show. Since this is the first show of 2021, I want to make sure we do give the usual shout-outs as we do every show. And by the way, we are going to be getting regular again this year. Last year, again, was tough for everybody with the pandemic and just personal. Everybody's taking care of family and personal issues and things of that nature. It was tough. So myself and my co-host, Jordan Jackson, we were not able to do as many shows as we thought we were able to. Previous to the pandemic, of course. So it's good to get on the air again and start doing two-hour shows and hopefully more frequently and hopefully some special things coming up this year. That being said, we have a couple of pages, of course, on social media that we frequent a lot, myself and Jordan, whether it be article writing, videos, things of that nature, posts. Some of them include Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang. We Are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA, New Pack City, which I'm doing a live on Facebook right now. Atlanta Hawks Nation, Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, Tomahawk Talk, Atlanta FC Fans, Atlanta Dream, all those pages we frequent pretty regularly. If you get a chance, please make sure you keep up with some of the new things happening on IMTN Worldwide on Instagram. Have some new projects coming out this year. Also, shout out to the Ocon Twins, of course. Right now, they're in Nigeria. They are working on projects. If you follow me, you saw me post up their first ever self-conceptualized project called Falling Star. That was their first film in the United States that they were in, that they put together. But right now, they're actually on Netflix. If you watch the movie Citation on Netflix, it was number one in Nigeria for a few weeks in a row, actually. So go check that out. Give them a shout out. They have some more stuff coming up. Of course, the show is brought to you by the Originative brand. Hit up the man, Jamal Price, the founder of New Pack City, by the way. If you need any Hawks gear, Falcons gear, Braves gear that's personalized, make sure you hit him up. He is the man when it comes to graphics. He actually designed some of my current logos and things of that nature, namely Around the ATL, actually. So go and check him out there. So let's see where we are standing here as far as a little bit of a crowd. What's up, Derek? What's up, Tony? Let me go ahead. What's up, guys? All right. So Atlanta Hawks. So before we get started with the Atlanta Hawks, as if I've never done this before in 2.5 years. By the way, our third year anniversary show is coming later this year. If we're fortunate enough, we'll have a really, 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 really special guest for that particular show. In the past, we have had John Collins, And before that, we've had Bob Rafin and Steve Holman share a couple of shows together. Of course, we've had Dominique Wilkins on the show. So who would be bigger than any of those guys? I don't know. So let's see what happens, third year anniversary. But prior to any Hawk segment, there's always a little something that we play to go ahead and get everything started properly and succinctly. So let's go ahead and make sure we don't forget that for the first show of 2021, because I really was about to start the segment without it. Some people are probably getting offensive even playing that now. So sad. Anyway, the Atlanta Hawks right now. As you all know how the season ended last year, we were stopped. Our games were held up. We were not allowed to finish our season. And, of course, with that being said, we weren't allowed in the bubble because we didn't earn our way into that particular format. And we had to sit for a long time before we got to see Atlanta Hawks basketball again. But prior to that, we had an offseason, of course. And in that offseason, a lot of the deficiencies from the year before in regards to the roster were on paper taken care of, right? And then we had a really good draft, okay? And the first few games of preseason, it was like, oh, wow, I don't know, right? But then the regular season began, and at the end of the day, we had some pretty good showings. And, of course, most notably, we played the Brooklyn Nets back-to-back, and we went toe-to-toe with them in the first game and lost. And then the second game, we pretty much destroyed them, right? But since then, we have not had a great stretch. And every game had its little quirks and things that just didn't really sit well with most people. And there has been a lot of discussions since then in regards to, okay, well, what's wrong? What's going on? And things of that nature. And now most recently, of course, there's a lot of writings and articles and he said, he said type of things out there. So one of the things that I posted on the New Pack City page was, is there an issue or not, and does it even really matter? And I would like to get some of your opinions, those who might be listening live to the show, those who might be in the New Pack City page. I see Derek and Tony up in there. Call into the show, 646-652-4479. And, you know, what do you think as far as, you know, what's going on? Do you think anything is going on? Does it even really matter if anything is going on? Does it matter what this player says, that player says? Does it matter coach says? Or, you know, does it matter if the coach says something, you know, quote unquote, maybe negative towards a player? In some people's cases, they say that it was borderline derogatory. And if anything, at worst, it wasn't really, you know, backing up the player. You know, that's what a lot of people are saying. And then in regards to thoughts of John Collins towards Trey and Trey towards John Collins and Trey towards the offense and Trey towards his coach. Does any of this even matter? I guess is my point. In a regular season that's shortened because of the pandemic, 72 games, and, you know, we've had injuries galore as usual with this team for whatever reason, right? Does it matter? Does it matter to you, the fans? Do you just want to watch basketball? Do you just want to wash over everything and nothing is going on until it is going on and drastic things have happened? And will you be satisfied with that? Maybe. Some I've seen kind of toss certain aspects of this aside and say, hey, this doesn't matter. Coaching really doesn't matter. You know, what happens on the floor doesn't matter. What happens off the court doesn't matter. I've seen a lot of nonchalantness, you know. Blase, blase. That's cool. you know, that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's everybody's right. If it doesn't matter. But what if it does matter? What if it does actually matter? What if the structure of the team as currently constructed does matter? Because that's how this team was constructed. I mean, the players knew who was getting signed. They knew who was in training camp with them. Watching film, things of that nature. So all of a sudden, none of those things really, you know, make a difference all of a sudden. How players are playing doesn't really matter. Because you can't have it both ways. 646-652-4479. Inevitably, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it on one side where, well, your coach shouldn't say anything, or the coach should say something. And it can't be both ways where the players can't see for themselves, okay, well, maybe I need to step back, right? Or maybe be less vocal, or maybe I need to be vocal. Maybe that's been the problem the whole time, that nobody ever says anything. And at a certain point, something has to be said. And I y'all know I like to give analogies and things of that nature, and I'm going to do one now, right? And I always use street ball or pick up basketball as an example, because, again, basketball is basketball at a certain point, okay? When things are going wrong, you're only playing to 8-by-1s. You don't have a lot of leeway there, right? And see, when my guys play, we play with a scoreboard and a clock, right? The clock is to prevent people from being on the floor too long and let other people get to play, right? First one to 8 wins, right? Ones and twos. No threes, but the threes are twos and ones, you know. So if a team gets on a hot start and you're down 4-0 real quick, you have some decisions to make. Do you keep playing like you're playing, or you make some adjustments? Okay? And all right, I'm going to read that after I finish my thought here. Edward just said something. You got to make some adjustments if you want to stay on the court. Now, if you don't want to stay on the court, I guess you can just let the other team just run roughshod on you and you get shut out 8-0, right? So if the other team is up 4-0, you have some decisions to make. Who's on the other team is looking real good all of a sudden? Just, you know, they're out there with energy. You know the young Bucks. You know, they just be out there just running. You know, they looking like Anthony Edwards on Minnesota, right? It is up and down the floor and stuff. You know, eventually be like, man, somebody needs to give him an elbow or something. Just someone needs to, you know, just hit him, you know. Just, you know, slow him down a little bit. You know, why is he running so fast, you know? Or maybe he needs a double team. Something. Maybe you need a faster player. Or maybe you need a bigger player on that person. You got to make an adjustment, okay? And if you're down 4-0, that means you haven't scored. So what can you do to see if you can get an easy bucket so they don't just shut you out, right? Is somebody on your team shooting out already? Just hitting bricks, right? Can we get a little pick and roll? Can we get a screen? Get a wide open shot? Can we cut to the basket, kick out for an open shot? Do you got a fast player on your team that can penetrate and maybe get a layup to break the zero-ness that you got? When we watch the Atlanta Hawks play lots of times, it's unfortunate that, again, and we watch these games year after year, decade after decade, right? But in the last few years, it's a matter of, okay, if teams have noticed that you are not good at something, they're going to exploit it at a certain point. And one of the things that the Hawks up till now are not great at is adjusting. And a lot of that is because we don't have a smooth offensive transition of any kind. You know, so it's, and give me a moment. I have a guest that, give me a second. Give me one second. I'm just making sure that my guest, when he calls in, he knows what we're going to be doing. All right. If you've seen any of my articles, if you've read any of my posts, you've seen any of my videos, my biggest contention is defense. Defense wins championships, and we haven't seen a lot of defense in the first 2 years. This year, we have seen a defensive presence that we had not seen before, okay? We've seen people switching much more than before. Adjustments, pick and roll, playing it much better. Not playing empty space as much anymore, at least the first few games, for sure. Okay, those four victories and a couple of losses, you know. But these last four games in a row that we've lost, all that just seems to have gone away. And then on offense, again, it's a matter of you're doing the same thing over and over again. We don't have we don't have a flow. And when you're stuck like that, it's easy to defend you because they know what you're going to do. They know what you're going to do. Okay? So it's tough because, again, it goes both ways. Responsibility and accountability goes both ways. Okay? All right, so we won't have a guest on tonight. Let me read Edward's comment real quick. There is an issue. Trae Young, John Collins need to put aside minor disagreements and be professionals and give the fans and teammates their best on the floor. Not putting an effort to win because you're mad with the team or coach is unacceptable. We are a better team than what has happened lately. We're definitely a better team. Putting in the effort is definitely a no-no. Not putting in the effort, I should say, is definitely not a no. Is a no-no. I don't know if you want to put aside the disagreements, because if there's disagreements, they need to come together and figure it out. And again, that's something I believe that's not really been happening. Again, communication is key. Again, I'll go back to my basketball. The reason that we were so bad on defense a lot of times is nobody is calling out anything. No one's calling out when someone's about to get screened. No one's calling out, hey, you got him or you staying? Or you staying with him or do we need to switch? Somewhere in there that has to happen. When we play on the court, one of the things we start off with, we look and see who's on the other team. Because we've been playing against the same guys for 20-something years. You know, they get older and whatever, whatever. Some of them have kids and stuff like that. But you know everybody's weaknesses and strengths at a certain point. You know their release point on their jumper. You know who is fast. You know who's methodical. You know who is strong. You match up. Sometimes, though, you have that mismatch every now and again. You got some new guy that came in. We don't know where he came from. You know, who's got him? Who got Michael Jordan over there? What in the world, right? But at a certain point, it's a matter of, okay, we play man-to-man, or when they try to do screens and stuff, are we sticking or are we – you got to come up with that. You see what I'm saying? And for 2 years, it never looked like we knew. You always had people out of position. This year, it was a little bit different. And again, it was very noticeable. It was tangible. It looked like they had worked on it. Because people were switching. You could see it. They were switching well. They were on it. Rotations, they were on it. You see what I'm saying? There was an intensity. There was almost pride. And that's all I've been asking. I don't care if we lose 82 games in a row. I want us to go down fighting. I want us to go down looking like it mattered. Not getting blown out in the first quarter. I don't see why that's a problem. I don't care who's on the court. I don't care if all the players have broken legs. I played hurt plenty of times in my time because I didn't want to come off the court. We undefeated. I ain't come off the court. I don't care if I'm limping. I don't care if there's blood coming out my left eye. I don't got time to bleed. We finishing this off. Right? I don't care. Play with some intensity. That's all I care about. And up till now, it hasn't happened. And my contention is, well, if you have a reputation to coach defense, I need to see that as a fan. And the players deserve that as players because players want to be coached. 646-652-4479. Make sure I called out the number. Players want to be coached. Players want to be directed. They do. And besides all that, it's the coach's job to make sure that that's happening. It's the coach's job to put people in the best positions to succeed. It's the coach's job to make sure that they're prepared for each and every game. The other team may be better than you, but play hard. You still might beat them. If you don't play hard, though, you're probably going to lose. I don't care how much talent you have. If you don't play hard, you don't play with intensity, you're going to lose the game most of the time. And that's happened a lot. I don't even want to talk about rotations and other decisions that come off the bench. But the one thing that you just have to, you have to play with intensity. So those problems right there, after a certain point, get bigger and bigger and bigger. And again, from last 2 years to this year, one of the things I said is we can't waste another year of Trae Young and John Collins being on the same team. We can't waste it. We can't waste it. John Collins is healthy, right? Trae Young is still Trae Young. So part of that not wasting the season is that offseason where we filled in all those holes, right? So now, oh, and by the way, then we got Nate McMillan as well. Help out. But we don't really have the best bench coaching in the world either, as far as we just don't. That's supposed to tighten some things up, right? But it still looks discombobulated way too much. And again, that Cleveland game where we had to watch all of our starters sit on the bench for a prolonged period of time where when our bench wasn't handling it, and the other team came all the way back. And by the time our starters got back in there, it was pretty much too late. That happened a whole lot in the last 2 years. And it's frustrating to see that again, because it's not supposed to happen anymore. I'm sorry. It's not supposed to happen anymore, folks. And I think that crux of it, there's a lot of that in it besides all the other stuff. The other stuff can be fixed. But that right there is a trust issue now. Because the other thing about coaches and players is that they have to trust the coach's decisions. They have to be able to do that. They have to be able to do that. Because if they don't, the incentive is not the same anymore. Right? Now, when you're playing pickup basketball, there's no necessarily like a coach. But usually on your team, there's usually the elder statesman that you're probably going to pay attention to a little bit more than everybody else, right? Especially if they've known you since you were a kid, right? So when they say something, you're probably going to lean towards doing it or whatnot, right? You trust their judgment. You trust their call, right? The coach controls who gets in the game. That's their responsibility. No matter how much money you make, if you're not on the roster, you're not on the roster. You're not on the starting lineup, you're not in the starting lineup. You're not in the rotation, you're not in the rotation. You can't play. You're not getting no minutes. That's their thing, right? So the players all trust the coach to put them in the best positions to succeed. And if the players start getting an idea that that's not really happening, they're humans too. They're players, but they're humans too. And they want to win. They want to win so bad. You got to think about this. Beyond the money, is a plus. It's cool and all, and they're professionals. But the main thing is they want to win. They're not just there to be there. They're not. Some players are bad. Right? Some players are terrible, but they still want to win too. They're just bad. But the ones who are really good at basketball or football or baseball, you hear all the stories. You hear the college guys coming from Clemson Alabama, you know, all these good colleges and stuff, and then they go to that terrible team that they got drafted on, and then now they're losing. They're not used to that. They're not used to an atmosphere of they're probably going to lose three games in a row. Some of those college got those college kids have never lost three games in a row. They can't fathom losing three games in a row. They might not have lost a game since three games in a row since maybe Pee Wee League or something like that. I don't know. And then they get to the professional level, and it's like they're losing on a regular basis. Then it's culture, right? They're used to it. The Cleveland Browns have not made the playoffs in 17-plus years. That's a culture. The Buffalo Bills won their division for the first time in 25 years. Right? The Detroit Lions have not done nothing in forever, right? You see what I'm saying? But here it is, this season, he has all these players wanting to come to Atlanta. All these players wanting to be an Atlanta Hawk. That meant something. That had to mean something. They were sold that, hey, you need to come to Atlanta. You need to come. This is the city. This is the time. We're about to put Atlanta on the map. We're about to do some special things. They were all sold that. There's a lot of trust that goes into that. And I don't, and again, these issues that are happening right now, whether or not they matter or not, the mainstay is that they all want to win really bad. And all they want is a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Trust that it's going to happen. They want to feel good about their decisions at the end of the day, all of them. And if they're not getting that from the people that are in the other positions higher up, that's going to cause some contention too, just being frank about it, okay? And just me knowing certain things on the other side of the ledger, it's a problem. I'm going to just say it like that. I can't say too much more than that. 646-652-4479. So thanks, Edward, for chipping in. Derek, Tony, y'all are still online and watching. What do y'all think? You can type it in if you don't want to call in. But I would love someone to call in and, you know, speak on this and discuss. It doesn't look like my co-host is going to make it to the show. I'm trying to track him down, but it don't look like he's going to call in tonight. And I'm just going through messages real quick, guys. All right. So what is that? 646-652-4479. So what do y'all think? Now, the other part of this is, okay, well, hold on. Uh-oh, what happened to my screen? Edward says, I agree, just like Jordan played with the flu in the final years ago, playing with heart, pride, and determination to win is a must. Coaching has been an issue, too, late in games. We need Capella in, free throw weakness or not, we need rebound. All right, so he's alluding to some of what I was talking about in regards to decision-making and rotations and things of that nature. Why aren't your best people in the game when it's most critical? Why are they out? Like, the propensity of you winning is probably better with your best players in there. Otherwise, you know, what is that showing there? You know, we need rebounding, shot blocking, and size in the middle of the paint. The whole game, sitting players on the bench too long has got to be managed better. Nathan Knight needs more minutes until our injuries are less. Yeah, Nathan definitely should be getting more minutes. I understand that for sure. It's like, did you just want a one and done him? Are you trying to trade him? I know he's a G League player. I know he's on a two-way contract. But when he's here, you need to play it. Why wouldn't you play him? Now, do you think it was – if they just think he was a fluke, it's like what he was doing is a little bit more than fluky. I mean, you could tell when someone was a fluke. Although, no. Nah, Chris Crawford, I don't know. I was just throwing out a random name there. But he didn't look like no fluke to me. Anybody? Bueller? You at least give him some more minutes and find out. Give him 20 minutes again and see what he can do. Was it a matchup? Was it a matchup made in heaven type of a deal? Or, you know, but he's your other guy on that bench and unfortunately, Bruno still is not really, I don't think he's ever going to break out. He doesn't have a lot of time now, you know, and it just don't look like he's ever going to really elevate to what he was in Maryland, really, right? So Nathan is that dude. Give him a shot, because we don't got nobody else. Again, that whole starting lineup being out that game in that Cleveland game, that was just, again, your bench is not supposed to win the game for you. Your bench is supposed to keep the lead, keep your lead, maintain where you are if you're a little bit down, but just maintain it as the guys get a break. Or sometimes if it's an energy thing, get your team back in it. But they're not supposed to win the game. They're not supposed to be relied on like that, okay? And at worst, okay, you take your five starters out, the lead is dissipating, put a couple of starters back in there. We couldn't even do that. You couldn't even adjust your rotation, no set, because that's what he said after the game, is that we're doing the same rotations as we usually do. But my gosh, if that doesn't work, why would you continue to do it? Because you did that last year and we lost a lot of games like that. We had a lot of leads last year, y'all. A lot of winnable games last year, and we lost them all for no reason. And that's not cool. We can't have that again. I'm just very adamant about that aspect. We can't keep doing that. And again, if we don't have mechanisms in place to prevent it, then that's a problem. And eventually that has to be, again, when Travis Slank came out that Memphis game, and again, that wasn't the first time we had been blown out, but he finally comes out and says that's unacceptable, and then we go and play Memphis again, and we get blown out again. See, right there, that was a lot for me. I mean, how does your team not have energy or not be prepared again? And you know there's no pride in making sure you don't get blown out again by this same team. And then the preseason, we played them twice again and pretty much got blown out twice again. And when we finally beat them in the regular season game, I mean, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. But thanks for the notes, Edward. Appreciate that. Capella, as good as Capella has looked, like, why wouldn't you want him in there in the fourth quarter for sure? Just defensive rebounding alone, you would want him in there. Just offensive rebound attempts, you would want him in there. Deflections, tip-outs, you know, and he goes to the basket, and he has a baby hook. I mean, he does all these little things that matter. His stats matter. His production matters. All these things come to play when you're trying to win the game, and when you take him out, I mean, look, when you're tired, look, here's the deal. I'm going to use this tired analogy. You need to be taking out the game when literally, you know, you can't even walk. Then it's time to take you out the game then. Until then, I mean, you got to suck it up and play. Again, I done played 6 hours of basketball straight before, you know, just out there. You know what I'm saying? Game after game. We go off the court. No, I'm good. I don't need a substitute. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Just 3-4 hours of basketball, just playing. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that now, of course. Back in the day, yeah, I was game. And even on the outside courts, I could do 2 hours, even in the hot sun. You know, 48 minutes, bah humbug. We're going to play 3 hours, whatever. Get some water. Get some Gatorade. Somebody go to the store, come back with a cooler full of Gatorade, right? But now you can't play back-to-back games in the NBA now? What in the world? What has the league become? Anyway, 646-652-4479. First 30 minutes of the show is gone. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. Let's see if we can get some callers into the show. But thanks, Edward. Tony and Derek listening on New Pack City Facebook page live. I appreciate that. And anybody who is listening on Blog Talk Radio from all the posts that I did on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and other pages as well. Appreciate that. Remember, this is the first show of the year. So if you know somebody who loves to talk about Atlanta sports, make sure that they, you know, learn about the show. Again, we've had some great guests over the years. We've had Angel McCautry, you know, Olympic gold medalist. We've had Nikki Collin, WNBA head coach, when she won Coach of the Year. We've had her on the show. Who else have we had on the show? Jamila Jay, sports reporter, sports columnist, as you will, who covers the Hawks and the Dream. We've had her on the show. Of course, I said we've had Bob Rappin and Steve Holman many times on the show as guests. And like I said, we've had Dominique Wilkins on the show, and we've had John Collins on the show. 30 minutes we had John Collins on talking about Atlanta Hawks basketball. You need to go back and listen to that interview. Edward with a last comment here looks like, I agree, the coach claimed the guys were exhausted. I'm not buying it. I mean, it's a hard pill to swallow when you're 22, 23 years old. If they were 36, 38, I could see it. But that's not what we're talking about here. Just saying. It's a hard pill to swallow. And again, the whole point of it is we were winning and now we're losing. There's a certain point where this is, again, basic basketball, y'all. 646-652-4479 is basic basketball. Looks like I do have a caller. So before I go on break, I'm going to go ahead and let this caller in and see who it is. Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
All right, this is Naj, man. I'm in Atlanta. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, man.
Yeah. So what's your take on the Hawks season thus far, man?
Nothing to worry about. It's early in the season. Things are going to get worked out. The rotation is still not even healthy yet, so we don't even know who's necessarily going to be in and who's going to be out. So we got a long way to go. The thing with Trey and Collins is not going to go away. Trey's going to have to repair that. Collins is a guy playing to prove to the Hawks that he's a legit all-star level caliber four, or to get a semi or max deal somewhere else to, you know, take his career where he thinks he needs to go. So Trey's going to have to fix that and clean it up. He does need to give him more touches. He does need to put him in better positions to score. I don't think there's anything wrong with Collins saying that. But no matter what, Trey eats first, and Trey is driving the car. So if Trey, after a while, says, I don't care, then Collins is just going to have to go spit. But I think they'll work this out. Herder has looked good early on. I want to see what Rondo looks like when he's, you know, really, really healthy. Capella, I think, is reminding people of how big he plays. Like, Capella is going to be a problem for a lot of teams, especially when it comes to playoff time. But, yeah, so far I like the Hawks, man. DeAndre Hunter has taken a leap. I think all of us see that. He's become a lot better day to day. We got to wait on Cam to get his thing together, but we all know the talent. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the Hawks are in a good position, man. Imagine being the Raptors right now.
And you bring up a good point. Comparatively, definitely, and this is one of the things I mentioned in regards to it being a 72-game season, and that your margin is not that great as far as how you start the season, because you could be out of it real easy, you know. So comparatively to where we were last year, we're actually pretty good. It's just how we've been looking overall. Now, when you're talking about Trey and John, I will agree with that part in the sense of Trey is the best player, okay? But at the same time, this is where leadership comes in, you know. To win, there is a little give and take. And the one thing about this is, too, the last couple of years, Jonas has been out there anyway and still getting 19-9 and 21-10. They're not drawing up no plays for John. That, again, because we don't have no offense. But they have been giving him more touches this year. That is something that's considerably changed. It's probably not as much as he still would want, but it's better than the last two seasons for sure. And when he's gotten those touches, he has been productive, you know, him and Capella. You know, there is a change as far as that goes, but it could be more consistent. And then the problem is that when that ball is stagnant, that's when they get in trouble the most because, again, they do the same things over and over again, and the league has caught up to that. You know, they know what they're going to do. And that's, I think that's really all John is saying is, like, we kind of need to just change that up at least because not enough people are touching a ball in a possession. And that's true, you know. And it's cool if everybody's hitting their shots, but it's when everybody's not hitting their shots is what we get in trouble because then you're down by so many points. And, you know, the same thing that's been happening for the last 2 years. So I would love to see just, again, the discipline part of it and just the play calling just change or adjustments be made so that we're just not just out there. It's a feeling that you're just out there sometimes and it's frustrating. And it's frustrating to see in real time. You know, overall,
we gotta be fair to Coach Pierce and Coach McMillan and all the other people on the staff. They're running plays just like everybody else in NBA. Problem is, everybody knows your plays. The question is, how quick do you get into your options? How quick do you get into your secondary, secondary parts of the play? How good are your secondary pieces to actually threaten people to where they're not just kind of leaning towards Trey and trying to force you to do things you don't want to do. And you kind of see that with Trey kind of using that move that Luka's been doing where he's kind of leaning into people and drawing fouls, which is a good move because people don't want to give up that script, give up that clean look off that screen to roll. So, I mean, they're running plays. It just becomes difficult because, hey, man, everybody's playing the play. Remember when you were in practice as a youngster when you were running y'all plays and the defense knew the play and it became a little more difficult, you know, during practice? It's the same thing in NBA, man. Everybody's scouting to the 100%.
See, the thing of it is that we adjust it, though. And I guess what I think about on the coaching side of it is that in the first 2 years, we've not seen many adjustments at all at any given time. And going into this season – here's the thing about talent. I'm going to be real adamant about this again, is that talent is not all of it. When you know what you're supposed to do and you play with intensity and you play hard, you can beat teams that have more talent than you because I've done it plenty of times in my lifetime, okay?
Right.
There's too many times when that's used as an excuse.
Here's my point. You're running a play. The play has a set option. The first option, of course, is going to be Trey. Next option is probably John cutting. And then you have some action on the other side where some shooter is trying to get open. If the defense does not respect the second and third option of your play, they're going to sit on those first two and swarm you and force you to either make a play or get into late, you know, shot clock stuff, scramble situations, and things like that. And that's what we saw for the past couple of years. I think what we're seeing now is even the bad stretches and the droughts, we're seeing at least good looks and sometimes even clean looks because the talent has been so upgraded that they can't just sit on everything Trey wants to do. So I'm not so much worried about the offense. Now, the defense, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
The defense does worry me. I feel like we're trying to outscore everybody. That works.
Yeah. And with that part of it, and that's been my other thing is a matter of, okay, well, now it's been 2 years plus now, and the implementation of a defense, if it's been implemented, then that means the players ain't doing it, or it's not been implemented. It's either one and neither of them are good, right? And, again, this would almost be a moot point if – Pierce didn't come in with a defensive, you know, reputation or repertoire, acumen, all that kind of stuff, accolades in the whole nine yards. I don't care what what the players were. We don't see a defensive intensity, and we got blown out way too many times last year to prove that. This year, I did see it though. Again, I've been mentioning on a whole bunch of videos and articles and things of that nature. We got rotations that are better and crisper. They're talking out on the floor on switches. The pick and roll is not so much of an issue like it was the last couple of years. There's not as many open threes as there used to be, although in these last few games of losing there have been. But it's a matter of you can see something has changed. But then it's the consistency part of it and, again, the discipline part. And it is worrisome because it's like, okay, now is it going to be a matter of you have to have the perfect lineup in there for you to have the defense, and that shouldn't be right. You know, can we at least get team defense? You know what I'm saying? And that scares me a little bit.
To get a stop. And then this is the one thing that scares me. Are we just going to have to kind of co-sign ourselves to the idea that Trey is going to be a guy who avoids fouls defensively, and that's it? He's not necessarily going to play his position well defensively, and a lot of people are going to have to cover up ground for him. Like, is that something that we're just going to have to deal with? Because, I mean, it's similar to what Luka does, where Luka does a lot of hiding, shooting gaps, not guarding anybody, and just trying to avoid, you know, getting fouled so he has to sit. That's one thing that does worry me about Trey. Now, I don't know if that's a fair criticism, but that's one thing that worries me.
He plays passing well. He's pretty good because he gets the steals. Now, as far as man-to-man, when you get down to on the guard level, there's not too many guards that actually play well man-to-man anyway. It's always a matter of they play good team defense, but, you know, how many point guards are locked down point guards, or not even locked down point guards, but adequate on defense that you can stop the other guy. You can stop Kyrie Irving. You can stop Dame. You know, vice versa. You can stop Steph, you know, and Steph can stop.
Not
one-on-one.
You know,
one. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I shouldn't say ever, and he has picked up his intensity a lot more. Hey, he's fought through a whole bunch more screens than I've ever seen him fight through before. You know, and that's where I said that has been an improvement overall on the team defensive side. Is this a matter of can it be consistent? But, yeah, on the game is on the line and ain't nobody coming out the game, yeah, there are those times where it's like, yeah, it's kind of looking like he's kind of backing up a little bit there, you know. But it's like, but you do have Cam and Hunter out there too, you know, and then you got Clint out there too. And, you know, it's hard on that one. But again, Kyrie ain't the best defensive player out there either. You know what I'm saying? That's always been one of those.
Right.
Remember what league we're
on
now.
Hey.
This ain't the
These
Isaiah
are
Thomas.
Good problems.
And, you know,
these are called good problems. The
Joe
last thing
Dumars,
you want to have is a guy who defends his position well, but you got to play 4-on-5 on the other end, and that's what you get with a defensive specialist. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, here'll be the deal. When we see that if Trey is on someone and that someone actually goes for 35, yeah, then we might have to say something. But usually, Trey is not on the guy who's getting the 35. Somebody else is on him. You know what I'm saying? There's not been any times where it's like Trey is actually
and that's
guarding
no
that
accident
guy.
Either. Yeah, that's no accident either.
Well, and that's part of it. I mean, I bring back street ball again. You know what the matchups are. I'm never going to get put on the guy that everybody knows is like 3,000 miles faster than me. That's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? Now you try to isolate me and everything, I'm a be, you know, shoot, you ain't going to get around me, young buck. I'm going to hit you in the face, you know.
And then it comes to a point where what's realistic. It's like even right now, LeBron James, as great as LeBron James is, he doesn't take the top defensive assignment anymore, and he can't carry the offensive load that he carries at this age and still be a top-flight defender.
Yeah.
And if you ask him to, everything would go down as far as production. And that's similar to everybody else in the league, man. Hell, CJ's guarding the top guy. Dame ain't going to do it. You know
I guess that's my only point. And I can say as long as the team defense is decent, that could be overlooked to an extent or even overlapped. But it's just a matter of those times where, it could be a one-on-one type of a deal. Yeah, you would want him to be a little bit more, you know, a little more gumption in there or whatnot. But it's not so glaring as long as his production is where it needs to be and everybody else is doing what they're supposed to do. Because if everybody else is doing what they're supposed to do, it's masked, basically. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just more blatant when nobody is doing their job at all. And then you see the guy who we've never heard of before with 50 points in the game, like Jamal always talks about. 646-652-479 is the number.
Right,
y'all can join in.
You have a good one, dude. Happy New Year.
Man, you take care, man. Appreciate you calling in. First show of the year, man.
Yes, sir.
And that was Mr. Nas from the ATL representing. Appreciate that. Now, that being said, we are going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to see if we can go get some more callers tonight. Remember, we are talking Hawks the first hour, and in the second hour, we're going to talk some Falcons. We're going to probably move away from the New Pack City page and find us a Falcons page to talk some off-season, what we're going to do with general manager and head coach and Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, what we're going to do with all those players. Nothing or maybe something, you never know. But we're going to take a little bit of a break. I need to take a break. 646-652-4479 is the number. Appreciate everybody who's listening tonight. First show of the new year, 2021. We are here and arrived. Let's go ahead and take a break, play a little bit of, I don't know what we're going to play. Let's play some Geeked Up. But in the meantime, let's do this.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
See, that's what happens when you have the first show of the year. I didn't turn my mic back on. And we are back. 646-652-4479 as we do this last 5 minutes of the first hour of the show. Thanks for Nas calling in, chipping in with his take. He has some pretty good takes there, so I appreciate that. In regards to Trey, in regards to defense especially, he's comfortable with the offense so far. And he's comfortable overall with where we're going, so we're going to see. And, again, thanks for Edward and Derek and Tony for watching live. It's still not too late. So we got a good 5 minutes, 30 seconds of the first hour talking Hawks. So if you have any other points of interest in regards to what's going on, what do you think about our rookie, the Big O, and Snell getting in some 5-on-5, and they're going to be coming back soon and getting into the fray a little bit. What do you think their impact is going to be? And call in and talk about that. Now, mind you, when we go to the second hour, if you do end up calling in, you want to talk Hawks, you can do that. Although I will be talking Falcons primarily that second hour, you can still call in and interject with some Hawks talk. Don't worry about that. It's around the ATL. I keep telling people that. But, yeah, what do you think about the rookie and what impact he might bring? Snell, Chris Dunn eventually when he gets into the lineup. Of course, Rondo coming back, Gallinari. I mean, think about all those names I've just named, and they're not even playing right now. So, you know, we have the element still to be what I say is a contending team, but there's still a lot of loopholes. And all I'm wanting to see is they get tied up, you know, a little bit sooner than later. Because, again, I don't think we can wait that long for them to be tied up. I don't think we can wait that long for bridges to be mended necessarily. And when you look at it from that aspect and you look at the owner who wants to win and the owner's looking at the general manager and saying, this is your job. The general manager has to make decisions accordingly at a certain point. And that's what happened to the Falcons. That never happened. You see what I'm saying? The owner also, though, was complicit in that because he could just like, hey, the foolery has to end, and he just let it go. And so the Falcons had those losing seasons really for no reason because he could have quashed that. Or the general manager could have bucked up and said, you know what? I don't want to lose my job. He didn't do that either, though. So I don't think we have that much room in a 72-game season to kind of be finagling things and working, you know, hoping things work out, things of that nature. I mean, again, the head coach is the CEO of the company, okay? The CEO, as far as that goes. And he makes the decisions, and he has to be able to make the decisions. And sometimes they're not easy decisions. Sometimes you might have to bench a star player. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you have to or pull his minutes or whatnot. You know, doesn't matter how much money people make. You're the coach. And you have to be able to instill a sense of pride and a sense of accountability and a sense of discipline, or you're not going to be there because then you're not going to have no control. It can't be intermittent. It has to be all the time. And I think over the last couple of years, just seeing what's on the court, it hasn't been there that much. That's just what you see on the court. You know, I mean, again, we've all played basketball. It'd be different if all of us had never played a game of basketball in our lives, but we've all played. Whether it be we're getting paid for it or not, we've played it. You know what I'm saying? Basketball is basketball at the end of the day. There's no real difference at a certain point. So, well, we are about to transition. I'm going to see what page I'm going to go to on the Falcons side, but I do appreciate everybody who always watch on the New Pack City page. When I do a live, this is the first show of the year, 2021. Happy to be here, of course. We're excited what's going to come with Around the ATL over the next few months. We're going to be working really hard to do some big things. This is the third year of our show, so I'm excited. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and roll out of here as I pick me a Falcons group to get into to do a live. But again, if you still want to talk Hawks, call into the show, 646-652-4479. Let us know where you're calling from and your name, and we'll get you on the show live. In the meantime, let's go ahead and take another break as we get ready to go into the second hour of Around the ATL. It's the first show on IMTM Worldwide Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL, episode 96. I can't believe we're in 96 episodes. So this is the first show of the year, 2021. We made it somehow. At least I think we are. Maybe still in 2020? I don't know. 646-652-4479 is the number. Tonight is the first two-hour show of the year as well. The first hour, we actually talked about the Atlanta Hawks for a whole hour. So this second hour, we're going to be talking and concentrating on the Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons last year, we know how their season ended. It did not end well. It had a little bit of a bright hope in there, but then all of a sudden the bottom just fell out. And it resulted in finally seeing the general manager and the head coach being taken away from their duties. We had Raheem Morris step in as the interim coach. Whether he becomes a full-time coach or not remains to be seen. We know a lot of people have interviewed for the job. We also have the general manager's position that's open there and a whole bunch of other fill-ins that need to happen. And then, of course, with the roster, who knows at this point, right? 646-652-4479. So we're going to talk about that if you wish. Now, if you're watching on the Atlanta Bird Game page, appreciate it. Make sure you click on the link if you want to listen to the entire show, so that way you're just not listening to me. 646-652-4479 is the number if you want to join in. I see Christian is already on there and Good Vinci. What's going on, Christian? How you doing? Been waiting to hear your input on the draft and what we should draft in the first round. Uh-oh. See, you're putting all kind of pressure on me on my first show of the year on the Falcons side. It technically almost depends on when they make these decisions. You know, the draft is so far away right now still, technically, right? Because it's really going to go into the philosophy of who we hire as far as how that first round might go. We know we have a high pick, but high picks have never made a team, technically, right? Only a few times has it actually worked. There's a lot more low draft picks that have become, you know, Hall of Famers than number one draft picks. That's a fact, right? There's a whole bunch of quarterbacks out there that were drafted 1, 2, and 3, and they're trash. So I don't ever get excited on that until they get their 3 years to prove themselves, right? Like I say in the NBA, you need at least three years to show who you are as a player. In the NFL, kind of the same thing, especially at quarterback. Do I think there's a chance that they'll trade Matt Ryan? Not really, because it's a contract situation, although I saw the one thing about, well, if you do this and that, you could do it, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's going to happen. So Matt Ryan's going to finish, at worst, his last year as a Falcon. Whether he finishes his career here or not remains to be seen. It just kind of depends on, again, who ends up being the general manager and the coach. In the first round, do you draft a quarterback? A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have said do it. But at this point, I might probably lean towards maybe doing it this year. You know, I don't think Matt is not on his last legs at all. But I think with us having the pick, I think you do it just on that basis, really. As far as the who, can you get Fields at that pick, or do you use the pick and go up a little bit to try to make sure that you get him if you want him that bad? Maybe, you know, but at the same time, the hesitancy comes in to look at some of the others that have, you know, come from that particular school, and, you know, there's a little hesitancy there. Do you do a miracle, you know, Hail Mary, like certain teams have done in the past, and go all the way to one, maybe? I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch. You saw what happened to Dicker and the Saints when they got Ricky Williams. I don't know. If not quarterback, though, then it's a matter of position of need. Do you go after a defensive end? You know, we don't get no pressure on the quarterback. I mean, again, they're back there making bacon pancakes back there, right? Just whipping it, just pouring it, skillet, flipping it up, and then they throw the ball, right? It's terrible. Do you concentrate on the defensive side of the ball? Probably at that pick, if you can. But then it's like, okay, well, who do you feel good enough to even go that high in the first round on the defensive side? Is there that person out there that bona fide, and I mean bona fide, will make a difference? Because, again, the draft is so hit or miss. Even nowadays, you can do all the scouting in the world, but at the end of the day, that player has to want to be great. If the player doesn't want to be great, it doesn't matter. It never has. Again, look at all those draft picks that were drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and how many of them are not even in the league from 3 years ago. Like, seriously, right? Much less 5 or 7 years ago. So a lot of it goes back into who's the coach. Who's the general manager? Who's the head coach? Who's the surrounding coaches around them to say, we're going to make sure that this player is going to produce. We're going to make sure that this player is going to be accountable. Look at those defensive players that we've had that were never made to be accountable, and we can see it, right? Tack, of course, obviously, the foolery of that. Duke Riley. And, of course, Vic Beasley. You know, one of the most wasted picks of all freaking time. So it's hard for me to say that. And on the technical side, this wasn't going to be that type of show for me because I'm literally doing this show after work. However, especially when my co-host gets back on, we're going to do a whole football show for sure. We're going to do 2 hours of Falcons coming up for sure. We're going to do some breakdowns galore. But I would say defensive side of the ball will probably take precedent. Do you get another cornerback possibly? You know, or have we seen to where, or see, again, it's like, if we could get just a little bit more pass rush, a quarterback, all of our cornerbacks will be great. Okay. We know AJ Terrell. I'm cool with him. We have some others that I still like Oliver. Okay. But some of the others, I don't know. But do you use a high draft pick on that? I don't know. Linebacker, I think we're straight. You know, we, the Luakon, you know, Dion, of course, and now we got the Michael kid. You know, he was named an all-rookie team. You don't do that without doing a little something, right? Again, depth was an issue. I mean, we thought we had got people to fill in some holes, and they just didn't produce, and then they say they're injured, and all this kind of jibber-jabber. So, again, I think defensive line has to be addressed somewhat, more so almost than anything else, because, again, it's always been in the trenches, and it's always been so confusing why franchises don't copy the franchises that have been successful over a period of time. The trenches. Right? Line here and the line here, and you run it up the gut. You can only do that when you have an offensive line, and then you can only stop it when you have a defensive line. What did coach at Pittsburgh say? Look, I just want to run and stop the run. If I could do that, I would win some games. How many years have they been winning over there? A long time, because that's what they've been doing. Not so much this year, of course, but they're still winning, though, right? But when you can stop the run and you can run the ball, you're going to win some games. The New England Patriots won all those Super Bowls and championships and appearances because they did those two things. No real superstars in the mix other than Brady. Yeah, he had Gronk there for a little bit, you know, and he had Randy Moss at one time. But outside of that, on the offensive side of the ball, they didn't have no great offensive talent. But they ran the ball. They protected Tom Brady. And on the defense side of the ball, they got after the passer. They stopped the run. They won games. Why can't everybody else do that? Why can't we do that just a little bit? Because if we did that just a little bit, we would never miss the playoffs this whole time since the Super Bowl. We would have been in the playoffs each and every single year. We're only talking about a couple of games. We're only talking about a couple of games. But we didn't do that, and here we are. So, go defense. I like Parsons. I've seen a lot about Parsons. Micah, I think, is his first name, right? I can see that. I can see that. If you're going to do it, I say go with the best talent available type of a deal. And he looks like the best talent. If we are able to get him, pull the trigger for sure. Maurice says, let's see, it's time to drop a quarterback. Why not take a chance? Well, I don't want to take no chance now. Man, stop. Matt is not it throwing interceptions. See, again, how many interceptions did he throw this year? All of them were in the red zone? I don't think they were. I'm pretty sure they weren't. And again, Matt Ryan, compared to a whole bunch of other quarterbacks, didn't have a bad season at all. Bad per Matt, maybe, but it's still not bad, bad. It's just that it's cumulative to look at the results per all the other aspects of what was happening on the field. You see what I'm saying? Offensive coordinator sucks because he continues to run plays that everybody knows is going to happen. We couldn't run the ball. If we could have ran the ball like we were supposed to, this wouldn't be a discussion right now, okay? It just wouldn't be as far as that goes. And even though the defense did play better those last however many games, it didn't. And that killed us. I mean, we had leads or we were in games, and then all of a sudden it's a whoosh, you know? And a lot of that, again, is quarterback was allowed to throw the ball anytime he wanted to. And there's no way in the world you can sustain winning when a quarterback has all the time in the world. Why do their quarterbacks always have all the time in the world? And always don't. You can talk about how he releases the ball and all this kind of crap. You know what? You build the team around the strengths of your player. The one time we did that, we went to the Super Bowl. Let's see. Defense is priority. Giving up 41 points in the. I mean, just for real? Christian is hitting it on the head. Like, how you slink away from that? Like, you want to have a fighting chance. Look, again, I just mentioned this on the Hawks subject an hour ago. We can go 0-82 as long as we play hard with intensity and we lose 82 games in a row because the teams just played better than us. That's one thing. But when you're actually in the game and you have actually a shot to beat the team, but you're not allowed to win because your defense just simply can't stop the other team, that's demoralizing at a certain point. How many years have we seen that, though? There's too many times where Matt Ryan has done everything to win the game. He's done his job. We can't stop nobody. There's only so many points you can put on the board. Does he have to score 60 points a game? I mean, that's what it looks like. That has to change. That dynamic has to change. We've wasted Matt and Julio for the most part because we would not do what is necessary to fix those issues. Either get us a run game so we can stay on the field longer, or you shore up the defense. One or the other. Still throwing interceptions in big games when he really needed Matt. I just don't see the drive in him. That's all perception right there, Maurice. I don't know about that. I watched the last few games going three and out. Well, the going three and out part, well, he didn't throw any interceptions in the last three games for one. His completion percentage was very high for two. I'm pretty sure he threw about 7-8 interceptions in those last three games too. The three and outs, yes, they do hurt. They definitely hurt. They hurt any team. We need a better offensive coordinator to keep the offense on the field. But a lot of that is still execution. we can't run the ball more than a yard and a half, that kind of hurts because now you have to throw the ball. And, you know, we have a stupid offense that everybody knows what play you're going to run on third down and stuff. It's kind of tough. Kind of tough. But that's why we're going to get a new head coach. Because guess what? Your head coach is in control of the team. And the head coach has these earphones on, too. And at a certain point, your head coach has to step in and be like, hey, that play is stupid. Don't do that. Like that one play that Gurley, that play right there, that particular play on third down, y'all remember that play, right? I thought I was going to break my TV. I really did. I really thought that was the end for me. Michael Parsons is an animal. He is a heat-seeking missile. And our running game is much, well, he ended it there. I don't know what he meant by that. Yeah, I would go all in on Michael Parsons. I would say he'd be a game changer, kind of like a Chase Young, you know, looks like he is so far. But then again, Lava said that we thought about that Vic Beasley guy like that too, though. And, yeah, he did have that 1 year he had on, you know, but, you know. And then that Tack McKinley guy came out there with pictures of his grandma and everything. And, yeah, buddy, uh-oh. Now, I knew it was something I'm missing. I'm looking for my Magnum, oh, there it is. And Tack bamboozled us. Now, I haven't seen anything like that with Michael so far, but you just, again, being in the NFL, being in any professional sport, your mental has to be so strong. You have to be so focused over a period of time, and most are not prepared for that. Most don't want to do it, especially now that you got your money. Man, I'm in high life now. I got contract, got NFL money. Got all the honeys, I got the cars and the clothes, you know. I just want to be successful, right? No motivation to really push hard anymore. That's why the average NFL career is 3.5 years. Because most are not motivated to do more than that. You're done. I'm tired, man. I'm tired. I'm sore. I'm hurt. I got my little bit of money. Let me go. It takes a lot to last 5 years in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of being in that film room, being at practice, actually practicing with the purpose, and then being able to perform each and every single week. That junk ain't easy. So we've had some successful draft picks, but we've had, unfortunately, probably more that were not successful, and that's hurt us now. It's caught up to us, finally. You know what I'm saying? Whoever the new GM is. And see, I don't know. Are we going to get a new GM before the draft? I mean, it is just January and everything, but have we interviewed enough people to have a decision? Have we interviewed enough people for a coach? Can that happen before February? You know, because then you just got March and April. Now, is the draft still in April this year? I don't know. Is it going to be a virtual draft again? I don't know. Are we going to get to see any of these players? I don't know. You know, there's so much unknown still out there or whatever. But of all the drafts that we've ever had before, we can't miss on this one, can we? We can't afford to miss on this one, for sure, for sure. Again, I don't know what they're going to – I mean, really, there's nothing they can do with Matt. There's really nothing they're going to do with Julio. Julio missing 9 games this year did not help matters, of course. It is what it is. We don't need wide receiver, though. That's just not a need. Running back, I would say we need a running back for sure. Even though Ido really played well. Ryan, I mean – We need a running back. I would keep Ido, though. Ido is a hustler. He runs. Brian Hill, I don't know. I can keep him or let him go. Gurley, he did get a lot of touchdowns. He helped us out there, at least. He did get more touchdowns than we've ever had in a while. But for what, I mean, it's scary because it's like, is he really that bad now? Is our offensive line. Or at the sound of, at the risk of sounding crazy, he could be a completely different player next year. Todd Gurley ain't old. You know what I'm saying? Todd, I mean, yeah, look, let's see, how old is Todd Gurley? Let's find that out first. Is he hurt? Maybe he's hurt, you know. But I would hate, since he's in the fold right now, I would hate to just let that. He's 26, okay? I would keep him. If we, I don't know, did he sign a one-year contract or what? I would keep Todd Gurley, because let's say if we actually fix the offensive line just a little bit and we actually open up some real holes, and if he is healthy at all, I would keep Todd Gurley. Because, one, he finds the end zone. He does find the end zone. He does score. You know what I'm saying? We just need an offensive coordinator to run better plays for us. We've not had a really good – I mean, think about that, y'all. After Shanahan – do you get a head coach as a coordinator, or do you get a head coach and then you get an offensive and defensive coordinator? You know, that's going to be a question. You know, what works best? What's been successful with other teams over a period of time? You see what the dynamic is there in New Orleans. You see what the dynamic there is in Kansas City, right? A lot of people say, well, we don't want a defensive coordinator anymore because we saw what happened with ours. True, possibly. But really, Dan really stopped being the coordinator when he could never let go that we didn't have the Seattle Seahawks roster, and he's still calling the same plays. And that was my biggest gripe, and he never adjusted. And the league been known that, and that's how they ran plays against us. He's going to keep running this stupid zone. He ain't going to blitz, even though he don't got those same players. What in the world? And that's how we got beat. And then he finally gave up calling plays, and all of a sudden our defense started playing better last year, and he didn't get fired. Mistake number one. Excuse me. And then Blake let him start off 0-5. There is no way in the world he should have been gone. He should have been here past 0-2. I said, he shouldn't even be allowed to go 0-1. There's no way. After going 1-7 and you kept your job, you had no leeway. But Arthur Blank said, oh, 0-1, no. I even said that. Okay, it was Seattle. It's 0-1. But he can't lose the next game. Lost the next game, 0-2. He definitely can't lose the next game, 0-3. He definitely can't lose 0-4. He definitely can't. 0-5. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. That infuriated me. I couldn't understand how you just let the guys take it like that. You didn't care about the players. Players trying to get to the playoffs, and you spotted everybody 5 games. And most of those games were in the NFC. Right there, I was like, Blank don't even care then. That's what I was like. I was like, he don't care. He just wasting these guys. He's just wasting them. It's not cool. It was really disrespectful to me. It really was. So 646-652-4479. I'm sorry. Well, okay, I was making sure nobody was waiting on the line there. So we got 30 minutes to talk Falcons. Any other points of interest in regards to the season of last year? I know a lot of us are still traumatized from that Detroit game. I had a female friend of mine who was here. I'm trying to teach her football, and that was the game, the Detroit game, trying to teach her football. And y'all know what the last play was. And I'm watching it, and I'm sitting on the edge of my chair because I'm like, well, all we got to do is, you know, cover up on the onside kick, and we got this game, and we're looking back. And that ball was just a spinning, and Detroit got it, and, of course, you know the rest. And I sat there for like 5 minutes straight, didn't say nothing. And she kept on saying, what's wrong? What happened? I couldn't even say nothing. I couldn't even look at her. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And then the special teams coach couldn't get fired. That's how I knew we were doomed. That's how I knew. Because there's any other organization, the special teams coach would have been fired. Maybe on the spot. Maybe while the ball was still spinning. Like, seriously, how do you let that happen? Because that's coaching. And the head coach is complicit in that too, because where was he at? Reminding guys, hey guys, we're the receiving team. We can touch the ball at any time. Apparently it didn't happen because look at all the people who were staring at the ball. If they were really told that, there was no way they couldn't have did. They could have did what they did if they were told that. Hey guys, before y'all get on that field, just a last reminder, when they kick the ball to you, jump on it. You would think they would know the rules after playing football forever, but that one time, maybe they just went brain dead. They needed a last reminder. Couldn't have happened because they let the other team get the ball. They didn't even try to get it. They didn't even try to get it. That was a bad day. That was a dark day right there. 646-652-4479. So, general manager-wise, what thoughts do y'all have on general manager? Is a general manager important? You know, what is he generally managing? What do you want to see out of a general manager? What do you want him to concentrate on? You know, as the seasons go forward from now on, you know, is it trades? Is it the draft? Is it coaching? They're responsible for a lot in the organization, you know. If they do get a quarterback, you know, that's a mentoring thing then at that point. But then also, who are the veterans around that quarterback, right? And here's where that quarterback coming in plays a part too. Haskins had a chance to be the man in Washington. He apparently didn't want it. Joe Theismann wanted to try to reach out to him, gave him his number, gave him his phone number, but also gave him his jersey number. Said, you can wear that. Haskins didn't want nothing to do with him. And some of y'all, not a big deal. Why not? Now, I know that's a generational thing, and a lot of young ones don't want to respect the older generation for nothing. And all you do is speak down to them and disrespect them. And that's cool. You can do that. That's your right, I guess. But he's out the league. He ain't making no NFL money no more. What are you going to do? You going to be an insurance salesman? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to work at Aflac? What are you going to do? Because there's a good chance he'll never have another chance ever to be a professional. So was it worth it to be disrespectful like that? Disrespectful to his teammates and his organization for him being reckless, knowing what the situation is in this pandemic, knowing what all the teams are going through to try to be able to play each week? There's a team in the NBA can't play for the next 2 weeks. They've lost how many regular season games? Somebody on that team was careless. Somebody on that team was reckless. You don't care about that? You don't care about your other teammates? Okay. You can play that game if you want to. Somebody might be getting beat up in the back, though. Those are game checks being lost right there. Because you just didn't care about nobody but yourself. Because you were selfish. It means a lot when you pick the right person. Maybe he got through the interviews, though, right? He got through the interviews. And all the commentators said that if he had just played better, he'd still probably be on the roster just because of his talent. But apparently he couldn't even show his talent. And that was the last straw. Talent overlaps a whole lot, don't it? Right? Until it can't. And you can take that for granted if you want to, but again, it's a hit or miss league. A lot more misses than hits. Jamarcus Russell, maybe? Think about that. But anyway, y'all. Let me make sure there ain't nobody on the line. Don't look like anybody wants to call in and talk football tonight. I'm kind of surprised about that. Appreciate Christian and Da Vinci and Maurice for chipping in tonight. I'll hold out for a few more minutes. As far as Matt Ryan, like I said, I don't know if Matt's going to be trying to play until he's 40-something or whatnot, but right now, he can still play. Right now, he shouldn't have the losses that he has right now. We all know that. Some of us know that anyway. We still can do something next year with most of this roster. We just need better coaching. We need better coaching. We need a better game plan overall. We just need better. Okay? Then it is up to the players to execute. And so some of those players that we had this year that were bad on the execution side, they don't need to be here. You can take that for what will. Dante says he was hurt. I don't know. Maybe. But then that's coaching putting them in there. If they knew he was hurt, like at a percentage of hurtness, when do you decide that a player is productive or not? Because he was in there pretty much the whole season, right? Not being productive, like being a ghost out there almost. I'd much rather see somebody from the practice squad. Anybody. If he was hurt, that's crazy because you just basically gave up a season of a position with a hurt guy who couldn't produce. Whose decision was that? It's because you gave him some money? That's not good enough reason to just have somebody out there who can't play because he's hurt. If that's the excuse, I mean, I don't know. You know? Safety. What do we do at safety? I think it's time to change the guard on that, too, to an extent. You kind of have to. You know, we've had some injuries on that end of the line a lot. You know, we're missing some really important players on that end over the last couple of years. Maybe that's something to address as well, you know. As far as the offensive line, Mack probably has played his last game as a Falcon. So the center position is definitely going to be open up. Do we need a tackle? You know, or not? A running game, we need better running plays or we need a couple of players. Because, again, we should be much better at running the ball than we are. And maybe it is the running back, period. I mean, Ido getting in there showed a little bit more promise. People want to mention the whole burst thing and stuff like that, of him not needing a hole as much as Gurley would need or whatnot. Gurley got past some good runs, though, sometimes, though, right? So I don't know. It's puzzling. But we haven't done a lot on the running back side in the last few years, so I think it's time to do so. Like, we need to make a focused move because we got so many other running backs that are in our conference that are really good, and we don't have really good. We need somebody really good. It's time. It's been a while since we had a really good running back in the Atlanta Falcons. We thought it was going to be Gurley. Gurley's just 26. That's what's crazy about it. He's nowhere near done unless his injuries really have hampered him. You know? I don't know. Maybe they have. We'll see. I think it's worth to keep him, though. I think it'd be better to keep him here than this is one of those risk rewards because you can never have enough running backs, right? This is one of those times where it'd be better risk reward to have Gurley here and see if we get a better offensive line and better play caller and see what happens. This is a big year for the Falcons. This is a year. Like, this year was supposed to be the year we made up for the last 2 years, and then the bottom fell out. We ended up 4-12. No matter what, we have to be in the playoffs this year, right? We have to be in the playoffs. So, I think I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to cut this show a little bit short. I have a little bit of an emergency I just saw. So, please, 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 first of all, thank y'all for listening to the first show of 2021. Been a long time coming, of course. It didn't, you know, we almost didn't think it was going to be a 2021, right? Like I said, thanks for everybody listening to the first hour, listening to the Hawks talk. Everybody listening to the Falcons talk in the second hour. Appreciate it so much. Listen to the show on IMTM Worldwide Radio, which you can follow on IMTM Worldwide Radio on Instagram and Facebook. And you can listen to past shows on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, TuneIn, Radio.com, and a whole bunch of other platforms. So you can always listen to past shows. These shows are live. I don't always do the Facebook lives, but the shows are live. We've had some great guests in the past. We're going to be looking at concentrating on doing more football, baseball, soccer, because we haven't had any of those guests yet. We've had John Collins on the show. We've had Dominique Wilkins on the show. We've had Bob Rath and Steve Holman from the Atlanta Hawks broadcast team on the show. Angel McCautry from the WNBA, Olympic gold medalist on the show. We've had Coach Nicky Collin on the show, WNBA head coach for the Atlanta Dream. So she was coach of the year a couple of years ago. We've had some great guests on the basketball side. We've concentrated a lot on basketball, but I want to translate into the other sports on our third season. So with this pandemic, the off seasons are a little bit different. So we'll see what we can do. That being said, y'all hopefully will follow me on those pages that I mentioned. And again, thank y'all for listening to the show. But until next time, y'all take care. Have a great 2021. Peace.